This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. There are many ways to measure the tragic scope of the opioid addiction crisis, and here's one. It has to do with just how often these drugs are legally prescribed. According to a New York Times op-ed, opioids account for nearly half of all prescriptions written by pain specialists. The, quote, medical use of these drugs boomed tenfold in just 20 years. And yet, are doctors adequately trained when it comes to prescribing opioid painkillers? Today, Governor Charlie Baker said no, they are not.
I was surprised to learn that it's not that hard to graduate from medical school without ever taking a course in opioids or pain management or addiction. Then, in fact, most people graduate from medical school having never done it.
And so today, the state and four medical schools in Massachusetts, UMass, Boston University, Harvard, and Tufts, all agreed to better teach med students the skills they'll need to better prevent and treat opioid abuse. So joining us now with more is Dr. Henry Dorkin. He's the vice president of the Massachusetts Medical Society. The MMA worked with the Baker administration on the new plan. Dr. Dorkin, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you very much for having me.
Pleasure to have you today. Also with us from Baltimore is Dr. Karen Antman. She's dean of the Boston University School of Medicine, and she's in Baltimore today for an Association of American Medical Colleges conference. Dr. Antman, welcome to you.
Thank you very much.
So first, Dr. Dorkin, let me just ask you, how significant is the announcement today of these four med schools agreeing to put more or enhance its curriculum when it comes to opioid prescriptions? How significant is it?
I think it's very significant. There is an enormous amount of medical information that we ask our students to learn in 4 years. And clearly, we have to look where the issues are and modify the curriculum in order to address it. I think the willingness of the four medical schools in conjunction with medical society and the government to go after this, and it was done in a relatively short period of time, is laudable and appropriate.
Dr. Antman, how accurate was Governor Baker in that clip that we played of him speaking earlier today when he said that most people graduate from medical school never having had a course in opioid or pain management or addiction? How true is that?
Well, I think they wouldn't have had a course called opioid addiction, but they certainly would have had addiction risk, screening, prevention, treatment, pharmacology, and it would be given in courses of pharmacology, behavioral medicine, and even on the clinical rotations. So certainly the curriculum of Boston University, which I know the best, have substantial addiction components to the first, second, third, and fourth year of medical school. On the other hand, I think that what we need now is more emphasis on safe prescribing.
Safe prescribing, and how would you describe what that means?
Over the last probably decade, physicians have been probably paying more attention to pain control, particularly in cancer patients, people who have recently had surgery. And I think that we were sensitized to the fact that many patients didn't have adequate pain control, either in the hospital or at home. And I believe that prescribing increased substantially over that time. I think that we need the pendulum to swing back in the other direction a bit and need to be a little bit more careful, because patients don't need 20 or 30 tablets in a prescription if they go home after a simple surgical procedure, perhaps. And we need to be a little bit more careful about the numbers of pills that we prescribe. So I think that having students practice this as part of their medical education makes a lot of sense.
Hmm. In our listenership, I know we've got a lot of med students and doctors. So if you're hearing this and you have some thoughts on whether or not changing or enhancing the education that med students get around opioids and the opioid addiction crisis may actually put a dent in this crisis, give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Dr. Dorkin, the Massachusetts Medical Society worked with the Baker administration to come up with what's being called 10 core competencies that would be spread throughout the medical schools in Massachusetts. Can you give us a sense as to specifically what those are and how they might change education around opioids?
Well, the core competencies came out of the document that was not just the Medical Society, but it was the Medical Society and the medical schools and Commissioner Burrell working together. And the core competencies include the primary prevention domain, screening, evaluation, and prevention, a secondary prevention domain, treating patients at risk for substance use disorders, engaging patients in safe, informed, and patient-centered treatment planning, and tertiary prevention domain, managing substance use disorders as a chronic disease, eliminate the stigma, and build awareness of social determinants. These are just the highlights of the document, but they're the areas that the medical schools are going to concentrate on in order to produce a generation of physicians who are very attuned to this particular problem.
You're both physicians, so you, of course, would know much, much better than I do. But is this just it's another thing to ask doctors, and especially young doctors coming out of med school, to be aware of when they're talking with patients in a variety of clinical settings? Are we expecting a lot of young physicians to be able to sit down with their patients and accurately assess whether or not they're dealing with someone who has a potential addiction problem, or to push back against a patient who says, no, I need more pills than you're giving to me? Dr. Antman?
The students really do have to pay attention to what's the current major public health problem. And right now in Massachusetts, you're more likely to die of an overdose than you are in a car accident. So although we may have emphasized safety in other ways in the past, I think that students right now, because of this particular crisis, and it's a national crisis too, need to be more aware of this particular issue and need practice, because it's, as you observed, particularly, it's not so easy to push back when a patient is asking for more pain medicine and you realize that they're becoming addicted. So this specifically will actually give the medical students more practice in dealing with role-playing and that sort of thing.
Hmm. Dr. Dorkin, do you have a thought on that?
Well, I graduated from medical school in 1974, so I've been practicing medicine for a very long time. And one of the cardinal tenets that I was taught at Hopkins, and I know that Dr. Antman and her colleagues are teaching at BU and at the other medical schools, is you need to spend time talking to the patient and listening to what they have to say. And quite frankly, we ask physicians to do everything they can to be able to spend the time with a patient, to hear what they have to say, to answer their questions, and things will come out in a discussion that will not come out in a very brief encounter. So quite frankly, we're working very hard to spare as much time as possible for the direct patient doctor interaction. And in doing so, we expect that medical students and practicing physicians will look for these issues and try to address them, because they're just as important as any other medical issue the patient might have.
Well, if we could, Dr. Antman and Dr. Dorkin, let's just take a step back here, because it occurs to me, are we basically at a point in this crisis in Massachusetts where, through announcements like the one today regarding the way we educate med students, and through Governor Baker's other proposals, which include perhaps limiting the amount of or the number of pills that a physician can prescribe at any one time, are we basically just, is this our honest reckoning of the role that the medical field, that doctors themselves are playing at maybe the furthest upstream point in this addiction crisis, that yes, essentially we're saying a lot of the problems do begin in doctors' offices themselves? Dr. Antman, what's your thought on that?
I'm a medical oncologist, which means I take care of cancer patients, and in several decades of taking care of cancer patients, I rarely have had a patient who became addicted to drugs. I think that many physicians who have people with very, very good reasons for using narcotics, the reasons that narcotics are available medically, have this experience. I do believe that we have to be more careful with medications and to be using other pain medicines to enhance the effects that you get from narcotics in ways that will decrease the risks of addicting patients when they need opioids for medical reasons.
Dr. Dorkin?
Well, I'm a pediatric pulmonologist, so I would use far less narcotic in my practice because I don't deal that much with pain, although I do deal with some. But I think, as one medical student put it, and I thought quite articulately, we're all striving to get the balance right between alleviating pain and risk of addiction. And we can't stop until we have gotten it right. And it's not a one-shot deal. It's a major ongoing concern, an area of concentration, certainly for the medical society now and in the future, and for all of our medical schools who are training the next generation of physicians, including the ones that will take care of me in my older age.
Right. Well, I mean, so I asked that question because today when Governor Baker was speaking, you know, he referenced the same New York Times op-ed that I mentioned at the beginning of our conversation. It's the one that was written by Dr. Richard Friedman, who is a professor of clinical psychiatry at Cornell. And what he wrote, I mean, he was even more pointed in his op-ed. He said that what is really needed is a sea change within the medical profession itself, and that, quote, we should be educating and training our medical students and residents about the risks and limited benefits of opioids in treating pain. So he would take it a step further. I mean, Dr. Ammon, what's your response to that?
It may be that physicians are prescribing opioids when they very well could prescribe drugs that were not in that category and avoid the risk altogether. So I do think that we need to be teaching physicians to be considering alternatives. Clearly, this is a crisis. This is not when we taught medical students and residents and attending physicians that it was important to alleviate pain. This is not the outcome that physicians wanted. Given that that's what has happened, we actually needed to step back and recalibrate.
Well, we're talking about the announcement today from Massachusetts' four major medical schools, UMass, Boston University, Harvard, and Tufts, that they will be enhancing their education of med students when it comes to the prescription and treatment of opioid painkillers and how to prevent or better prevent opioid painkiller abuse amongst their patients. And we're speaking with Dr. Karen Antman. She's dean at Boston University Medical School, and with Dr. Henry Dorkin. He's vice president of the Massachusetts Medical Society. And we've got a couple callers who want to join us, so let's go to them. Emily is calling from Jamaica Plain. You're on the air, Emily.
Hi. I guess I just wanted to say that I hope included in the training will also be some discussion of the stigma against substance abuse. I am someone with a history of substance abuse, and I always let doctors know. Unfortunately, that usually results in me not getting any kind of pain treatment, whereas my parents apparently can go into whoever and get whatever they request.
Emily, thank you so much for your call. Dr. Dorkin, this Emily's giving us a first-person example of something we were talking about earlier about how to balance, you know, caution and what patients believe, you know, patient need. Can you address what Emily's concerns are?
Well, you know, one of the things that are in our list of core competencies, as I mentioned earlier, is tertiary prevention domain, managing substance use disorders as a chronic disease and eliminate the stigma, build awareness of the social determinants, and to approach it as a chronic disease model and not as some kind of stigma that will characterize people. And, you know, this is clearly one major part of the approach. This is a medical problem. This is something that we need to go after as a medical problem, and we intend to do that as listed in the core competencies.
Kathy is calling from Canton. You're on the air, Kathy.
Yes, I'm not an addict, but I myself have physical pain, and I also worked at a high level in a hospital, know many physicians, and I realize both of your guests are physicians, but they're concerned about doctors responding by not being willing to prescribe medication at all, or you know, being cramped. And I too worry about that. And I think especially Baker's 3-day drug supply is not adequate.
Right. That was the governor's proposal to limit the amount that doctors could prescribe to a 3-day supply. Kathy, thank you so much for your call. Dr. Karen Antman, let me ask you, you're in Baltimore. today at a meeting of the Association of American Medical Colleges. Of course, we're concentrating on the four med schools here in Massachusetts. But how much is concern over the opioid addiction crisis across the country, you know, making itself known in colleges elsewhere in the United States?
We had a meeting on Friday of all of the deans in the United States, and there were actually several deans from Canada as well. And we were discussing a number of issues, and I had the opportunity, since we had had this experience in our own state with respect to medical education, with asking my colleagues across the country, was this a problem in their states as well? And we asked how many, and they put up their hands and started a discussion. So I believe that this will be an ongoing discussion for the deans nationally, because this is a national problem, and everybody's now becoming more aware of it. I believe that the point that Dr. Dworkin made is that the idea is not to inappropriately decrease the prescribing of pain medications, but to get the right pain medication to the right patient and to get the balance right, the quote of the student.
Mm. And Dr. Dworkin, last question for you, because I think this does link back to, I mean, obviously exactly what Dr. Ammon just said and what our caller was saying earlier, because the Mass Medical Society has voiced opposition to Governor Baker's proposal for that 72-hour limit in terms of the number of pills that a doctor could prescribe. Why does the MMA find that idea ineffective, whereas the enhancing training for med students it believes to be more effective in attacking the opioid addiction crisis?
Well, first of all, let me make the point that the Medical Society certainly stands with the governor in this in going after the narcotics addiction and opioid use problem. Most of the points that he has listed were lockstep with him. Questions have been raised about tweaking the 72-hour limitation. It can be something as simple as a patient seeing a physician on a Friday afternoon of a three-day holiday weekend and not having enough medication to get through it, and then having to go somewhere to see someone else, probably an emergency room, to get an additional day or two. I think, and I may be wrong, and Dr. Antman can correct me, I believe the governor said that in terms of the 72 hours, at least in one point in our discussions, that maybe it would be 4 days, maybe it would be five, somewhere in, but that the amount of medication that some physicians had written was pretty much beyond what one would reasonably think that the patient might need, and that we have to be better about how we write for limited prescriptions. And I believe that attempts to have partial prescription refills without either costing the patient another copay or additional paperwork on the part of the physician may also go well towards this, of trying to limit the total number of pills that are out there. We'd basically like a patient to run out of those pills when they no longer need them.
Hmm. Well, Dr. Henry Dworkin is Vice President of the Massachusetts Medical Society. Dr. Dworkin, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
And Dr. Karen Antman, Dean of the Boston University Medical School, speaking to us today from Baltimore, where she's at an association of the American Medical of American Medical Colleges. Dr. Antman, thank you so much for your time as well.
It was a pleasure.
And listeners, let us know what you think about this new collaboration between the four medical schools in Massachusetts to retrain med students on how they prescribe or how they will prescribe once they become doctors opioid painkillers. That's at radioboston.org. Stay with us, because there's more of the show coming up in just a minute. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.